Good evening. It's delightful to be with you and to welcome you both to the BYU Law School and this 18th annual symposium for the International Center for Law and Religion Studies. We're honored to have such distinguished guests with us, and we hope you'll feel welcome here at the law school and on campus over the next 3 days. We look forward to a marvelous symposium. You come from all around the world. I won't list all the places from which you come, but I think you'll learn while we interact with each other that you literally span the globe. I also want to thank those who've helped make this conference a reality, particularly Professor Cole Durham and those who work with him in the International Center for Law and Religion Studies. The great hope for any law school is that its faculty will have an influence that endures in the lives of the students and also on the development of the law. And Professor Durham and his colleagues are doing both. I'm pleased to welcome you to the law school. We were founded in 1973 and have approximately 450 students here at the law school, which means about 150 per class. We also have a small LLM or Masters of Law program with about 8 students who come from all around the world each year. Approximately 77% of our JD students speak a foreign language. And of our 450 students, approximately 100 speak 2 foreign languages, and in many cases, 3. By their entering credentials, our students are in the top 10% of law classes in the United States. Now, you'll notice while you're here this week that the halls will be relatively quiet. Our students are away on a fall break. I'm grateful to those students, however, who have decided to stay and who will be here to work with you and help host you during the conference. I think you'll enjoy the chance to meet them. They truly are the crown jewel of our law school. Now, the J. Reuben Clark Law School is part of a much larger university and campus. BYU, or Brigham Young University, has almost 33,000 students that come from all 50 states in the United States, as well as many countries around the world. The university offers bachelor's degrees in 186 different academic programs. It teaches some 55 foreign languages and oversees 158 study abroad programs all over the world. It admits about 5,300 new freshmen each year, and they're really a remarkable group. Now, other than the law school here and the business school that sits on the other side of campus, the focus of the university is on undergraduate teaching rather than on graduate programs. And that focus on undergraduate education and teaching has resulted in producing a really remarkable crop of students. Just this last year, the university, over the last 10 years, the university is produced, has been the source of what we might call sort of the launching pad or the starting place for more PhDs, people going on to get doctorates, than all but 9 universities in the United States. Similarly, the university has produced a lot of students going to professional schools. It's number 10 nationally in producing students who go on to medical schools, number 1 nationally in producing students who go on to dental schools, and number 6 nationally in students who go on to law school. Now, as a law school and as a university, we want to be great by accepted standards, but we also have a unique mission to strengthen the religious faith of our students. It's religious liberty that allows us to pursue that mission and to pursue a grand experiment of trying to create an outstanding university, but one that strengthens the students' religious faith and is faithful in adherence to our religious commitments. With that goal, you can imagine how important it is to get together in forums like this with people like you to discuss the difficult and complex issues that surround religious liberty. Now, by its very nature, religious liberty cannot be a concern for just our university or just our law school. It must be a concern by and for all religious traditions. And as you're well aware, the precise contours of religious liberty in conjunction with the other needs and goals of the state is not always an easy or a clear matter. Thus, we're delighted to have you here with us to contemplate the difficult legal issues and boundaries that surround the question of religious institutions in the state. Finally, before I sit down, I need to do a couple of things. One, I just want to give a word of thanks to our distinguished guest and keynote speaker, Justice Aqoub. I look forward very much to hearing from him. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Pete Peterson from the university. If you'll notice in your program, it suggests that Dr. Sandra Rogers, who's the International Vice President of the university, will be with us tonight. She had an emergency and wasn't able to make it, and so Dr. Peterson has graciously agreed to greet us from the university. Dr. Peterson is the Associate International Vice President at BYU and an associate at the David M. Kennedy Center for International Studies. He's a former Dean of Admissions and Records here at the university. He spearheads many of the international programs at the university, particularly those focusing on the Middle East. And having traveled to Jordan with Dr. Peterson, I can tell you that he has friends literally all around the world. He organizes for BYU its ambassadorial lecture series, which hosts 5 to 10 ambassadors each year. He's also a Knight First Class of the Norwegian Order of Merit, a distinction bestowed by the King of Norway and the highest commendation to a non-Norwegian in that nation state. Dr. Peterson's a product of BYU. His BA is here in business, a master's degree in sociology, and his PhD in educational administration. I am pleased to introduce to you my friend and colleague, Dr. Pete Peterson, and again, welcome to the law school in BYU.